is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Generic Live Show. This is GLS recorded Wednesday. I was about to say Thursday. It is Wednesday today and not Thursday. It is Wednesday, the 16th of September, 2015. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I'm Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining me. Apologies for the absence last week. We had hardware issues up the wazoo, which is why I sound different today, because I'm trying out a new setup and seeing how it kind of works, and if it works more smoothly is probably the word I was looking for there, or if it sucks ass completely. Apologies for saying that. It's a family-friendly show, so I should be more respectful, but that is kind of funny. that is completely funny. So yes, we are doing last week's show, so welcome to the world of last week today. It's a skip back in the old Wayback Machine to a past thing, but we've added in something new. We have an announcement on this broadcast we'd like to inform you about. At 10:51, we are making an announcement on this broadcast that you don't want to miss. People, we need to gather the townspeople, but not yet. Don't gather the townspeople yet. At 10:51, that is about that's about 50 minutes from now, in fact. 49 minutes, in fact. On this broadcast, gather the townspeople. We have a special announcement to make in relation. You know what? I'm not going to tease you. I'm going to let you hang on for the entire broadcast now that I've told you the time, by the way. You're probably just going to skip 49 minutes to that point. But anyway, don't skip too far. We could do it early. You never know. But 10:51, tune in for a very special announcement from us here at Chef Wonder Media. No, it is not my early retirement. Thank you for that. We've got a huge show, so let's not waste any more time and let's get on to the news.
On to the news!
Alrighty. I don't know what that noise was at the end. The waveform showed a really, really weird noise happening. I'm a little alarmed. Alrighty, on the palette for news today, Australia's usual hunger for tech has shown a distant lack in the appetite for when it comes to smartwatches, with only 205,000 bought in the first half of 2015, according to a study by technology analyst firm Telstyle. Meanwhile, Telstyle Australian Smartphone and Wearable Device Market Study 2015 to 2019 showed that around 3.7 million smartphones were sold over the same period, down 6% on the previous year, with 405,000 new users added to the 17.2 million Australians, 72%, with a smartphone. Sales of Android-based smartwatches beat Apple's iPhone in the first half of 2015, with 54% of Apple's 41%. Windows-based device sales were sluggish at 5% due to a lack of new handsets and Microsoft's transitions away from the Nokia brand. Telstyle's research found that Sony overtook HTC in the first half of 2015 to become the largest smartphone vendor in Australia behind Apple and Samsung. Telstyle's manufacturing director, Fjord Fadjuri, said that despite the hype, 10% of smartwatch users already stopped using the device and a lack of killer apps were holding back demand. That said, Apple had 64% of market share, but its cost crippled demand. The slow sales were stark contrast to the smart wristbands such as the Fitbit and Garmin continued to grow up 30% on H2 2014 at around 2 million users. So Australia's getting smarter. No, that's not just because we got rid of Tony Abbott. Oh! That is a good show title, though. I will give you that. We are getting smarter. Well, not really. Not when you hear what we got coming up after the break. We're not getting smarter at all. But the Australian telecommunications industry, in other telecommunications news, stubborn resistance to broadband monitoring regime highlights a distinct disconnect between it and those it serves. It has failed to grasp the fact that consumers are tired of misread excuses provided by the telcos for expensive congestion and poor bandwidth performance. An agreement against Australian Competitions and Customer Commission, the ACCC, proposal for a bandwidth performance monitoring and reporting program fails to acknowledge the extensive monitoring of every other form of utility carried out by the government. Telecommunications is an essential service, yet one wonders why the industry would rather consumers be left in the dark about performance. Speaking at the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network conference last month, the ACCC chairman Rod Sims said that, quote, a broadband performance and monitoring program would promote competition and consumers' outcomes by providing transparency over the quality of broadband services that offer to consumers, unquote. Open quote, consumers need this information to help them select the most appropriate services for their needs, with an S, to confirm they are likely to get the service in which they are paying, unquote. Sim would have equally pointed out that service providers also need this information to ensure that consumers' connections to their systems meet performance requirements. The Netflix ISP Speed Index has provided an indication of how performance is monitoring is to consumers and companies offering services over broadband. While Netflix offers an entertainment service that may argue is not essential, it is important to consider how knowledge of broadband performance might assist a provider of real-time broadband communication services for the disabled. It's an interesting perspective too, because if you have an essential service, like, say, for example, our Centrelink service, which, for those not paying attention, if you're not paying attention, why are you listening to this, first of all? Second of all, what I meant to say was, for Americans, that type of service is kind of like the Social Security services over there in the United States. If those essential services aren't being graded from performance measures, they are essential services to people. Yes, other services like Netflix and other things can go by the wayside, but are still important to consumers' use of the internet as well, and the performance in which the speed of the internet is being delivered for those services are important. You don't have to track which services they're being accessed to. You just need to know how the service is being performed, how they're distinct if a customer is using an essential government service, or if they're just watching YouTube or Netflix, is without actually tracking anything, any of their metadata or anything like that, is a tougher argument. But if you have a performance indicator, you can kind of grasp a better concept of what they're looking at and what their needs are. Because also, if people are loading quick and fast things, and I will move on because now that I've gotten really passionate on this issue, we are running a little bit behind. Plus, yeah, we have that announcement to make. I will say this, one final word on that story, though. If people are, you know, using the internet for short and sharp things, you can get away with providing them a shorter service. But if they are bandwidth hungry and they want services that, you know, demand a lot of bandwidth, you could also say, well, this particular household needs better internet because they are more demanding of it. I don't know. You know, it's a weird and wonderful world that we live in. Speaking of weird and wonderful worlds, Baidu, the Beijing search engine giant and technology company that develops the Chinese version of Google, has launched its assistant named Duo. The assistant has been built into the latest version of the company's mobile app, according to Tencent report on last Tuesday. Because this is a week old. Robin Li, president and chief executive officer of Baidu, said during the first day of Baidu's World Congress 2015 that Duo is based on the company's existing ecosystem that already covers many sectors such as dining, film, tourism, education, and healthcare. According to Li, the company's ability to collect and process data, as well as intellect learning at the back end, allows Baidu to categorize information and put a label on it. That's the show title. Or put a stamp on it. Oh, I don't want a long show title, but I have a really good line coming up. Anyway, to put a label on it. On various aspects of certain businesses. I like that though. For example, when users search for a restaurant, Baidu will be able to tell them not only the locations, but the kinds of cuisine. Yeah, and types of cuisine, but also information such as whether pets are allowed, or whether a celebrity has either dined there before, or even if whether a certain room has a television set. Duo is already working closely with the navigation and restaurant app developed by Baidu. Meanwhile, Li said the company will also engage in other apps to allow them to use the personal assistant to provide their users with better service. Aww. Who wants better service? Alright, time to rip through these final two headlines as well. Microsoft is returning to court to continue the fight against the US government. But wouldn't be a Wednesday without a good old court fight. Now that I don't have a car hacking story, it's time for a court story. Court update. Demand in handover email sorted at an Irish data center. The Irish. The messages involved are alleged to contain details of neurotic sales. In 2014, a court ruled in favor of the government's claim that because it journalism over the US-based company, it would force it to hand over the data it controlled, even if it was stored abroad. But Microsoft suggests that it would put in breach of privacy laws. I pre-read this, I swear. Instead of the companies argue that the US, quote, must respect the sovereignty of other countries, unquote, it has indicated that Washington should use legal assistant treaties if it wants to access information held in Iran and other data centers outside of the United States. Iran has already said it would consider a request exponentially. So, the standoff is being viewed as a test case as to whether a determinant of the extent of the US government powers over tech companies that could offer better cloud services. And finally, an incredible moment has been captured on camera, which the video shows a boy bonding over photos of an iPhone in a US zoo. Aww. The boy sits up against the glass at the zoo, and one by one, he shows the gorilla photos of other gorillas on his phone. The interaction between the two is evident, with the gorilla and the boy sitting in the corner to look through photos together. The footage was shared on YouTube by Paul Ross and had more than 1 million views since it was posted on September 20. Paul wrote in a comment to the YouTube video, quote, touched my heart seeing that kid being so kind and gentle with the gorilla. I think it was a special moment. He added the following, quote, I had the luxury of interacting with the kid and his family and watching the whole scene play out for about 20 to 30 minutes. The zoo also said that particular gorillas like watching photos and videos on people's phones, unquote. The moment was filmed at the gorilla sanctuary at the Loserville Zoo in the USA and captures the incredible interaction between humans and gorillas. At last, two primates can make it work. Aww. And that is the headlines. Apologies, I just realized my bumpers are really low. I like my bumpers nice and low. I'm putting a sticker on it. No, what was it? I need to find it again. Put a label on it. All right, that's the show title. Put label on it. There you go. If it's a letter, then put a label on it. Okay. We'll get to that. Don't you worry about that. Oh yes, it's gonna get heated on the second half of the show. Don't you worry about that. But for now, we're gonna be talking about the new Apple TV. Got announced last week. What can we expect from the set-top box? Yes. So here's what we got, and here's the article from. Where is it? The Sydney Morning Herald, Digital Life. We've got two articles from them today. So I'm going to read them and give you my thoughts, because that's what I do on the show. Siri has her sights on the lounge room. So the new look Apple TV, vying for the attention of both gamers and movie fans. So that's who they're targeting. A slew of new Apple announcement coming came last week, past tense style, and all signs pointed to a revamp of the tiny Apple TV set-top box. There was once talk of an Apple-branded television, but diving into the cutthroat television market alongside Sony, Samsung, and LG would be foolish. Yeah, it would be. There's little money in selling televisions. It's smarter to just sell cheap set-top boxes and acting as a gateway to the Apple ecosystem. Don't expect the new Apple TV to feature digital TV tuners or a Blu-ray DVD player either. That would just put money into Apple's coffers. So here's what you get, basically. It'll run with the new iOS 9 software update. So iOS 9 it'll run as well. It's likely to limited access to the App Store. Siri, of course, we let you know. And there's a remote control as well. I'll give you your thoughts on the remote control. The remote control, if you take an iPhone, if you take an iPhone and stretch the thing out and give you more room for the screen, and kind of, if you imagine the home button on an iPhone, put that more center towards the bottom panel, and you've got four buttons there, of course, so there's that. So it's got that remote. This is speculative, of course. Let's see. What else does this article say it is? When you ask her what's new, she will scour all the streaming services at your disposal. Name a TV, a movie, a TV show, and she'll check whether it's on the iTunes Store or via a service like Netflix that is on the TV. That's pretty cool. Let's see. Adding Ultra HD would certainly help sell more box, but Apple has not given Netflix a shot in the arm when it talks with Apple on its own pay TV like subscription service for the next 12 months. So the new Apple TV is at the heart of its HomeKit home automation ecosystem as well. So you can control basically your living room with this Apple TV, which it looks pretty cool. I'm not going to bash it too much. It looks pretty cool. And if If Apple can do it right, I'm not going to lie, it is going to turn out to be a fantastic device. But, and here's my biggest gripe with anything sort of Apple related as well. My problem is it's going to be too embedded in the Apple interface, and it's not going to take into consideration the other applications that it needs to consider as well, if that makes sense. It's just going to kind of go, all right, third-party apps, well, you know, third-party apps, you can go kind of over here in the corner, but here's our flashy new thing, and iTunes Store, and the likes of that sort of thing as well. I have one question as well. Is the Apple TV going to allow you to purchase season passes and buy season passes and watch them on that on the Apple TV as well? Because that would be very fascinating to kind of look at if the Apple TV would do that. If the Apple TV would, you know, have that sort of functionality with iTunes to kind of go, all right, so here's what we're going to do for iTunes. Is it a limited kind of thing with iTunes where you can only view your videos, or can you view, you know, everyone's videos, or is it just selected videos as well? And there's their functionality with like clips and snippets and trailers and that sort of thing. So they need to, I want this to happen. I want it to be a thought out piece of hardware, but I just think it's going to kind of not be what people expect as well. Also, I happen to notice from the announcements last week as well that they brought out some iPen thing. And I had someone tell me today that they find it the iPen a good idea because they're an artist and they want to draw. And that's what the iPen is all about. It's all about artists drawing and that sort of thing. So it's not about whether, you know, you know, you need it to kind of use your phone in general. It is a very specialized item, so there's that. So, we are going to be doing a little bit of a reshuffle here. I have cut a story out here and put one in place of it, just so we can go to our break on time, so we can get back as well, and I moved it around from the end of the show as well. NBN to deliver video service such as Netflix to all Australians, the CEO says. So the CEO of the NBN, which is Bill Narrow for those playing along at home, Mr. Narrow gave a speech at the 2015 Astra conference in Sydney last Wednesday, which is a pay TV industry sponsored event by Foxtel. Ba-da-da-da! So hang on. Hang on. So this person gave a speech about online services coming to everyone at a pay TV event. That is brilliant. That is brilliancy. This person is my hero. I really like this person because they're really brave. They're really pushing the envelope, no pun intended, to later in the show. But they're really pushing boundaries here at a pay TV event going, hey everyone, so just so you know, this new NBN thing, it's going to deliver online services to people. Surprise! Like, oh, someone's going to take that way out of context. I know someone's going to take that way out of context. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, what? Okay, I'm going to read on, but okay, well, that's strange. Critics of the LNP's NBN network has long stated the model will fail to adequately provide new entertainment services such as 4K television and high-definition streaming because it uses a mix of technologies, including existing wire network rather than fiber optic cabling. Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. I don't have that noise here, do I? Do I have anything like that? I have a chicken. No, that's not the same thing, is it? It's definitely not the same thing. He's a bit of a... he's not a chicken if he's going to this sort of thing and saying that. But Mr. Narrow's speech will attempt to put to bed some outlier potential upgrades to existing technologies such as DOCSIS. I don't know why I sung that. That was really weird. 3.1 and GFAST, which boost speeds over copper. It is about to be trialed by the NBN. He also expected to say that the NBN will let all Australians access the growing market of OTT players, which will get content like TV shows to and movies to consumers over the internet instead of traditional TV systems. Mr. Darrow will use NBN traffic to show the network is seeking a large spike in data downloads because of these OTT services. Some experts believe the rise of ambiguous high-speed broadband will accelerate the demise of broadcast television because it gives viewers the option for watching the content and when they want it, relying on traditional scheduled programming. Organizations like... this sentence is great. But organizations like Free TV Australia strongly disagree and believe that linear television will remain successful for years to come. I wonder why they think that. I don't know why they would think that at all. I don't know. Maybe because you're at an event where they're paid to say that. This person is a twat. This person is a literal twat. That's like me. Okay. I like when I try and make crazy analogies on the show. It's brilliant. But that's just like me going to an all-girls school and saying... oh, this is going down a really weird path. But that's just like me going to an all-girls school and saying, hey, ladies, it's okay. Women have the right to do things. No, it's not like that at all. It's like if you go to an all-girls school and say that, excuse me, and say the fact that it's okay, ladies, women's rights are going backwards, but it's fine. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. Don't worry about this. You know, downgraded women's rights. You're totally fine. Women are fine. It's like that. And it's the women going, well, you know, our rights will remain the same, whether no matter what you say. This person is a twat. Why would you go to an event where the whole purpose of you going to the event is to promote regular television and saying that the NBN is taking over the world? I don't understand people sometimes. I don't get it. That's like going to a golf course and say... I'll stop these now. It's like going to a golf course and saying that... guys, mini golf, it's where it's at. I mean, this mini golf thing, it's going to take over the nation. And But they're not designing all mini golf courses like they should. But this person, who are you? I'm dropping my mic. I nearly dropped my microphone there. You better watch out. But yeah, it's like this person's going, it's okay. The mini golf, it's all the rage. You're totally fine with mini golf being the rage. And this person, and all the people at regular 9 holes are going, what are you talking about? Or 18 holes are going, yeah, we're fine here. We still have to exist. I don't know what the problem is here. This person just wanted to attract attention for no apparent reason whatsoever. Which is fine. I mean, you can do that if you want, if you got a message to push, but, you know, just do it at a more appropriate venue. That's all I'm saying. That person pisses me off. As we continue here on GLS, hey, I have a question for you. And I'm not going to ask it. I'm going to let someone else ask it for me.
Do you like post?
Do you like post? Do you, sitting there wherever you are or standing, do you like post?
Do you like post?
Do you like post? We'll be back right after this. And remember, on the other side of this, in 20 minutes' time, we will have an important announcement right here on this broadcast. As we continue, it's 10:32.
CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/Athelor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/athalor.
Hey you! Yes you, fine listener of this program. You can help us become more than what we already are. I know, it's a revolution. Hold on to your butts, because I'm about to give you a URL address that could change our lives. Not really, but it would help us out tremendously if you went over to geek-io.net/support, so we can do a lot more than what we're actually doing now. That website actually has a lot of links on it where you can help us out monthly through Patreon at our Patreon site at patreon.com/geek-io. Or you can help us out once off by supporting those who support us. But then you can become the ones who support us, who support you, who support us. It's supportception. To continue this supportception, it's in your hands. Go to geek-io.net/support to keep this ever-long cycle of support up. Thank you.
This is JD. You know me from How It Stacks and other popular things that haven't quite caught on yet. But something that has caught on, that would be Think Geek. And everybody loves Think Geek because you can get Han Solo ice cubes, Daleks, sonic screwdrivers. Hell, I'm drinking a screwdriver now. But only because, you know, I love Think Geek. And you can get all of those things except for, you know, a screwdriver at geek-io.net/thinkgeek. And once again, I'm JD from How It Stacks and other things.
ProXPN. ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly Cable 6 strike rules and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.51. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
Most generic live show. This is the generic live show with Dale Campbell.
It's empty and has many holes. She never keeps on making appointments. You wonder why she thinks she shouldn't. I want to ask her.
Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday. This is GLS. Thank you for joining us. Oh, this song is amazing. Thank you for joining us. And yeah, I love this song. It's just so upbeat, isn't it? Yes, it is. Upside down. You don't want to know what else is upside down? I just realized it's 10:37 here on a Wednesday night, and I love the fact that I put news articles in here a little bit behind the scenes. And yes, give it a take. It's been a week since I put over a week and a half. Half since I put some of these stories in here, particularly some of them. It has been, you know, a while. And the push for online newspapers is real when you go to, you know, pull up an article or an opinion piece that you had up to talk about on your podcast. Then when you open it up in a commercial break, you open it up and, you know, bam, there it is. Subscribe for $20 a month. And I'm like, no, because I should subscribe to your service, but not for the purposes of this show. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, we're back. And for this next segment, if you want to ask questions, you can just use the little Q&A button to express your opinion on the major elephant in the room. Major elephant in the room last week. Australia Post. Actually, you know what? I'm going to ask a question. I want your answers. This is strange. That normally it's the other way around. I'm providing the Q. I want you to provide the A. Yes, you are my A to... Yeah, you are my A to my Q. Riddle me this. Is Australia Post becoming worse than a third world country mail service? As in mail delivery service, not in a stripper way, because it'll gross. But is Australia Post becoming worse than Australia in terms of third party ...ness. Here we go. I want to just read the headline. Here's the headline. Gross losses in Australia Post letter delivery services have been blamed for a 56% fall in the organization's profit in the first half of 2014-2015 financial year. Actually, that wasn't the headline. That was the sentence. The headline was... I've got three headlines. Australia Post profits down 56%. Two-tier mail system become a reality as government fights to save Australia Post. And finally, not last of all, consumer watchdog to review Australia Post's $1 stamp plan.
Do you like Post?
Yeah, do you still like Post? I didn't think so. So they're your headlines. So, like I said before, losses in the Australia Post letter delivery services is blamed for a 46% fall in the profits in the first half of 2014-2015 financial year. Australia Post reported after-tax profit of $98 million for a six-month period, down 56% to the first half of the 2013-2014 financial year. Losses in Australia Post letter delivery business totaled, at this, $151 million for period. That is a gross loss. It dropped 57%. And excuse me for continue drinking. My throat is exceptionally dry today. I have no idea why. I have no idea why my mouth is so dry. Volume letters dropped, however, by 8.2%. The largest decline in letters since 2008. Losses are set to continue, with Australia Post projecting the first company-wide full-year loss since 1982. Ahmed Foller, Australia Post Managing Director and Group Executive, said in a statement that the poor results highlight a need for urgent regulatory reform in Australia's post letter service to allow the courier to adjust prices to a two-speed letter service. Quote, the immediate change for our business is clear, Follower said. Quote, we have to carefully manage the real decline in our letter volumes. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. But you know what I mean? Like, as opposed to what? The fake decline in your losses? I'm confused. But anyway, back to the point. The real decline in our letter volumes for the past 7 years, but we have not reached tipping point where we longer manage that decline, while also maintaining our nationwide network service reliability and profitability. Okay. So you're probably thinking, well, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to overhaul our mail system. Take this way out of context. Our postal system. I will say that. And saying the phrase mail system over and over and over again is really disturbing. But anyway, I don't know why my eyes just went wild there. But anyway, a mail system. Right, a postal system, excuse me. What? Okay. So you think it's time to overhaul... That's where I was up to. You think it's time to overhaul the mail industry. The postal delivery system, right? You think, okay, we need to look at the areas that we think are the most challenging. And we need to improve those. And we need to improve our service efficiency. So we're not losing so much money on... Oh, wait. No, what we do need to do is introduce a two-tiered class system for our postal delivery. I keep doing that. For our postal delivery service. And what we do need to do is just jack up the prices of the mail. The post. That's what we need to do, right? No. So I suggest that we have an overhaul of the postal system. But I will get to that a little bit later on. So I want to give you some more details on what the Australia's Post plans are actually. So we'll start with the obvious one. So the $1 postal stamp plan. So the ACCC, as we talked about them earlier on in the broadband story in the headlines, Investigate Australia Post proposal to increase cost of stamps from the basic mail delivery service. They say mail in the article. From 70 cents to a dollar. Excuse me. The proposal, which would see a two-tiered mail system, would introduce slower delivery timetables on a basic postage rate of $1 per level, which is expected to become reality by January if approved by the federal government. While the ACCC is not involved in approving the mail courier's proposed price increase, the regulator is required to assess the proposal against the Competition Consumer Act and then tell Australia Post if it objects to change. So, I don't know much about economics, but here's what I do know. If you increase, say for example, if you've got, I'm going to get really nerdy here on audio format. It's going to be great. I'm going to take a drink of water first. Or Coke, whatever. Drink of beverage. So, say for example, if you've got price on one axis and demand on the other. Price is on Y, demand is on the other one. So, say for example, if the equilibrium is, say, 70 cents for a letter, right? I don't know how many letters there are. Let's just say, for example, I don't know, 50,000 million. I don't know. 50,000 million. There it is. So the price is 75 cents for 55 million trillion letters. I don't know. So it's at that point. So if you increase the price, you're going to lower your demand because people aren't going to want to send letters if your price is more expensive. Okay, that was my whole point there. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's stupid. Why? Okay, you know what I'm going to do? To improve costs on this show, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to increase the cost, and I'm going to reduce the amount of times I do the show. That's so going to work. I'm kidding, by the way, for those who just joining me. I'm kidding. That's not actually happening. But what's actually happening is that, this is real. That's the Australia Post logic, is if we increase the price and, you know, make things slower and make classes for our mail, it will fix the problem. Fixing the problem, that won't fix the problem. That will just make you lose more money because you won't be making as much money because people won't be demanding as many letters. But anywho, apart from all of that, all that aside, and they're justifying it by saying that they can't afford. Yeah, let me see what this says. Let's have a look. So they announced in March that they were seeking to lift it, so now they are going to lift it. At the time, Australia Post said that they plan to increase and service charge will reduce losses to do more with mail volume. Changes would not be enough to return the stamp mail to a profit. Quote, the changes will keep post offices open, including Australia's post vital regional and rural network, keeping posties delivering mails 5 days a week and ensuring Australians everywhere can access a world-class delivery service, unquote. That's what they said at the time. Excuse me. Last month, the Post Office Agents Association said that the push for a two-speed letter service was met with a mixed reaction from the operators of licensed post offices. Well, I wonder why. The director, Bob, said in a statement to the members paying likely linked to the price of the postage stamp, when the price of the package goes up, those payments increase. He includes payments for sorting mail and payments for PO boxes. Quote, our members can see the price increases will give their business a short-term boost, but they are worried what the long-term effect on stamp sales might be. That is legitimately the funniest thing I have ever heard in my life. But we do have to interrupt this story now because it is time. We'll come back to tell you more about Australia's Post two-tier system, and that's where we're going to end tonight. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to announce... we have a very special announcement to make on this broadcasting day. Gather the townspeople. I don't know. I don't have a horn sound effect. Ladies and gentlemen, a podcast is returning to the network after a heightened hiatus. We are excited to announce that because of the way that things have gone, I'm happy to announce that Terrible Tuesday Movie Night will be making a return to the network. It'll be returning. Terrible Tuesday Movie Night to be returning in October. Yes. It'll be returning on the 6th of October. Terrible Tuesday Movie Night will be returning in October. That is the exciting announcing. That's the exciting announcement. It'll be returning... So exciting, I'm knocking my microphone everywhere tonight, apparently, because I don't know where it sits and I don't know how to use one. But no, 6th of October, it'll be posted. I'm pretty sure I'll put it on my Facebook page as well, the fact that it has been announced, the fact that it has been released. So go like me on Facebook, it is facebook.com/DaleMurrayCampbell. Tuesday, the 6th of October, Terrible Tuesday Movie Night will make a return. It will have a different format. I will say that the format has not been finalized, but it won't have a completely new format. I am changing things slightly, a little bit for that. It'll become a better show for it, I think. But Terrible Tuesday Movie Night will be returning Tuesday, the 6th of October. Whether it is live or not, another story. Whether it is going to be broadcasting live or pre-recorded, at this stage, it's probably going to be pre-recorded. Here's the catch, though. There is a catch. It'll be a seasonal show. What that means is that there will be a set of 10 at any given time. So we're up to episode 40 on that show. So episode 40 to 49 inclusive. So 40, 41, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is where the show will be. That is one set. Starting on the 6th of October. Terrible Tuesday Movie Night. Season. Blocks of 10 will be recorded. Put up every single Tuesday. 9 p.m. on chefonmedia.net/TTMN. So excited to bring that back. And it's going to be in a new... It's not going to be in a new format, but it is going to be slightly different. It's going to be the same, but different. It's improved. So, that's all I'll say. 6th of October. That's so exciting. I'm so excited about that. But anyway, that was the exciting announcement. Hope you're excited for it. I'm just excited to get that back up again. It's made sense. So... It's back. 6th of October, 9 p.m. chefwondermedia.net/TTMN. episode 40 will be there. So look forward to that. Now, back to Australia Post. The two-tier mail system to become a reality. So, according to Fairfax, the proposed plan will allow the Mercury to announce a two-speed tiered pricing delivery. $1.50 for priority levels, $1 for regular delivery. Next day delivery for metropolitan areas could be extended to 3 days under the plan. A spokesman for Australia Post said last week that no decision has been made on the future of stamp prices. Australia Post supports a regulatory model which would enable us more choice on product speed and recovery. Recover most of our costs, a spokesperson said. Excuse me. So here we go. Stamps are currently priced at 70 cents, right? Concession card holders can purchase stamps for 60 cents, and this price is frozen until 2017. Australia Post has already got a two-speed mail delivery service, by the way. But we don't have a stamp one as well. Let's have a look here. I think the other one had a... Let's have a look. Oh, here we go. Oh, the article that I lost is finally back. There you go. Let's see. This doesn't say. The plan is expected to be within the next... So, this doesn't actually say what the plan is. That is kind of strange. Let's see. I thought I saw it on here. That is strange. Excuse me. I thought I saw a screenshot on here that already said that. That actually showed a table of which of the actual timetable itself. But basically, what they're going to do is, they're basically going to be pushing their delivery service out by one business day, basically. But the priority service could be pushed out as far as two business days. They need to overhaul the system. They don't need this approach. I don't have an approach for them. I don't have an overhaul of the system, so it's easy for me to say that. But in the 30 seconds that we have left here, I just want to say this. That it's not the fact that this thing is stupid. I just believe that they can do a better job at trying to figure out which system works for them, which system they need to be more smart about the moves and not make some more radical shifts. Speaking of radical shifts, we need to head on out of here. Thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you everyone for putting up with me for yet another broadcasting week. It is an amazing experience to do this every week, so thank you very much for doing that. Remember, again, the announcement, 6th of October, Terrible Tuesday Movie Night, will return in blocks of 10 episodes, but one episode will be going up every week, not 10 episodes at once. One episode will be going up again. I think we might take like a month off between shows. That might be the go. But we'll have to finalize that detail. But 6th of October, Terrible Tuesday Movie Night will be Becky return back to your screens. 9 p.m., by the way, is the time on that one. Thank you all for joining us. You can follow us on the website, chefwondermedia.net, chefwondermedia.net/GLS, geek-io.net/GLS, gplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, support the Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's 11:01. If I can find the closing bumper music, that would be even better. It's 11:01.
Listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
This has been a Geek.io production.
Copyright 2015.
Geek.io.
Geek.
Geek and Geek.